paper insert that goes along with that. You pastors, you've got all of the outlines inside your folder, so just move on to the next one. And then we've got young men that have been given out the next outline here over these last 10 minutes. If you're missing it, raise your hand. We'll have some fellows get it to you. How many of you need the serving gift? The serving gift. It's got a picture of a guy with a big nose. That's about 4 out of 7. We did not. We've got them. Ministry, serving, yeah. Right here. We've got them. We've got plenty. Just keep those hands up. Lord willing, you wash today. Keep your hand up. Okay, young men are going to get around to you. Just keep your hand up. There's some over there, guys. And there should be an insert as well. Who's got all the inserts for that ministry, that serving gift? Caleb, look right there behind you. See if there's the inserts on serving gifts. Is there an insert? The thin ones, does it say ministry serving? Go ahead and have a look at it. Double check. They're sitting there. There's plenty. It's the same amount on both of them, so everybody ought to be able to get both of those. Good. Good. Okay, here we go.
I know that you're not going to get a lot of this. Of course, I wouldn't even hit. We're not going to get the first one done, let alone that insert. But get what you can. Of course, this is really supposed to be for the college class. And I know sometimes people go back to college, especially when you're an adult, you've got like cobwebs, and it takes a while to kind of catch up. And I knew it'd be a lot, and Brother Joel said, we're a glutton for information. I said, okay, I'm going to give it to you.
Come on.
But again, I know you're not going to get it all. Nobody can get it all. The Bible is the mind of Christ. Amen. You couldn't get everything He said. So what do? Just pitch it? The average young person spends, I got the figures here, for 11 to 14-year-old spends 9 hours a day on the internet. So those rotten kids. Yeah, but adults spend 7 hours a day on the internet. You'll sit there and you'll watch 3 to 4 hours of TV and not blink. And when a preacher goes 20 minutes over, you'll say, I'm getting sick and tired of that. So like I say, you say, well, this is boring to me. Well, that's probably because you're carnal. I'm just being honest.
Oh, yeah. I
told our folks, I'm old enough now, I'm going to be a mean old preacher. I'm just going to tell it like it is. You're carnal. That's the problem with the Corinthians. Paul said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as the babes. He said, are you not carnal and walk as men? There's heresy, division. And like I always say, people say, well, church is boring, preach is boring. And I always say, that's because you're boring.
Yeah.
The Bible is not boring.
That's right.
I'm not chewing you out, but I'm just saying, I want the preachers, if you want the information, I'll get it to you. And it's not that spectacular. The second handout's not mine, but just for the years, I like putting all these verses. And if you will check things out, God paired Aaron and Moses together for a reason. God paired, you see, Peter and John, they really were kind of opposites. Peter was an old, they were both fishermen, so they had that kind of alike. But Peter was an older man. The Bible even says John was a young man, outran him to the tomb. And John leaned against Jesus' breast. Some people think he was about 16. But somehow Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. God put opposites together for a reason. They're knock off the rough edges. So you might have a gift. Your gift may be, there's a guy in our church. And I know his gift's mercy. He's a great man. He's a great Christian man. And if I ever want an amen, all I got to do is start preaching on mercy. I kid you not. You preachers know? I just start preaching on mercy, and I guess there comes the amens. And I love it because I need mercy, because that's not my gift. I'm glad my wife has mercy. Thank God for that.
Amen.
I was thanking God for that coming down here today. God knew what kind of wife I needed. I better have somebody of mercy sticking up with me. But I'm saying God puts those things together. And that's why you see that here, is every man hath received the gift. What are you talking? How many of us? Every one of them. Every one of you's got a gift. As everyone's got to receive the gift, even so, put it to use. Minister. That's what we're looking at here now. Serve the same one to another with other people. Use it for other people as a good steward. God's given you everything. It's not yours. It's to, you don't own anything. You're a steward of the manifold, which literally means the manifold grace of God. Now you can run with that. I'm trying to figure out about everything I can in the Bible. Well, I've just got a little bit of life left in me. And I've never studied out the metals yet. I'd love to study out the apothecaries in the Bible. There's one perfume they made for the tabernacle. God put the death sentence on and said, if you make this, you die. I'd sure like to know what that smelled like, but I'm not going to concoct it. I'd like you to make it, and then I'll smell it. I said, what in the world is that? God said, I'll kill it. Don't you make this, you die. There's a lot of neat stuff in the Bible. You can run with it. Some of these, they kind of pair off together there at the top. An exhorter challenges people. Prophecy, again, preaches their motive. They want to see repentance. Then you see somebody who's a prophet and kind of teacher. They emphasize the Bible. A teacher is going to emphasize the Bible. It's just a lot of this is just good common sense thought out. A prophet's going to, thus it is written, as it is written, thus saith the Lord. A teacher and ruler, they want accuracy. They want the facts down. A teacher studies thing out. A ruler wants the facts. Can we afford this or not in the church? Then I've got the ruler and the giver together. They want efficiency. Somebody who gives, they want this money used right. Where are you going to use this money? I've had a guy get mad at another church because they didn't use his money how he thought they should. Guy can be good, that can be bad. So does a ruler. He wants it done efficiently. Then mercy and giving. That's why I say sometimes it's a little bit confusing. And so again, don't get discouraged. Say, well, I don't know what my gift is at all. Or I kind of, through the years, I've kicked around a couple of them. Some of them kind of pair off together. And some of them clash. A prophet and mercy clash. And let me show you a good little, I like this little illustration here. Here's a little old classic example. Here's a good test to maybe help you see what your gift is. You're sitting at the table, and one of your kids drops the plate, spills the plate. What's your first response before you read these? A prophet says, I told you that was going to happen. You need to watch where you're going. Is that you? I told you that was going to happen. A teacher said, well, the reason that happened to you is you tried to carry too much and you're going too fast. Maybe you see somebody do this off in sin. Say, well, we tried to tell them. An administrator says, well, it's okay. We'll get it cleaned up. Get the mop. Get the broom. You need these people in the church.
Yes.
Yep. A giver. It's no big deal. Here, take some of mine. Mercy said, it's all right. Don't worry about it. That can happen to anybody. See, somebody in the church, I'll apply it to the church in a little bit. And every preacher, people's faces are coming to your mind. You're thinking of people in your church right now. It happens in church services too. Serving. Here, let me help you clean it up. I'll go get you some more. This is what we're going to look at here. Now, I'm telling you, this person could probably do more than in the church than about anybody. Well done, thou good and faithful
servant.
That's what God's really looking for. When Nehemiah and Ezra took groups of different people to build the wall and build Jerusalem, if you'll notice, they took two massive groups of these right here, servants. Not just one. Took all the other groups, took one. But when it came to servants, God took two runs of them.
Wow.
The exhorter, we'll look at. Most people think exhorter is, he's always happy and cheerful. Now, that's not, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as men or somebody's, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. But he just got done saying provoking one another. That's what exhorter, they're not just always cheerful. I say they challenge you. You can do more. I've got two of my kids that are exhorters. That's not my gift. And I like exhorters. People like exhorters, but a lot of times, every one of these gifts, if you don't do what they say, they get mad. If you're in the flesh, you do. If a giver gives and you don't use the money right, he gets mad at you and maybe leaves the church. If an exhorter gives somebody counsel, advice, and they don't do what they say, they can get mad and get bitter. The weird one on mercy, you wouldn't think of. Who's the one guy that spoke of mercy more than anybody else in the Bible? David. Over and over. Have mercy upon me, O God. The sure mercies of David. And it's funny because of mercy. You wouldn't think this until you study this out. You won't think it makes sense. But if you'll study this out, a mercy will have mercy till the day ends. But when you push their button, David, he may kill you.
That's right.
Didn't David?
Right.
Gird every man on his sword. We're going to curse. And I'll just say it in this Bible. He said, I'm going to kill everyone that pisseth against the wall. He's not being gross. He's not graphic. He's saying any little boy that's out of diapers. He's so mad, he said, I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
When you don't walk with the Lord. Now, here's the one we're going to look at tonight. This one, I'm saying you can do so much. And a lot of times this is ladies. Because some of these ladies, and by the way, I think I didn't finish that one slide. The gifts are not talents either. Lost people have talents. Lost people can teach. Lost people can play the piano. You have something that God wants you to develop that you could really be a blessing to a church in if you just do it. That's why I'll be honest. I'm going to sell it. We're not going to do that last handout, but I'm going to be honest. It's a list of why most people don't know what their gift is, and it basically is because most people aren't doing what they should do in a church. So what do you mean? Do you just pack a pew? Is that all you do?
Come on.
Why would God give you his gift and show you a gift if you're just going to walk on it? You know the way you guide a car? You can only guide something that's moving.
That's right.
You got to be doing things for God to guide you. Who's the guy that said in the Bible, Eliezer said, I being in the way, the Lord guided me.
Yes.
He's moving. Then God can guide you. If you want to know what your gift is, you'll never find it out if you're carnal, just sitting and packing a pew. You need to get busy serving God.
Amen. Amen.
And God will look at you and say, you know what? I think I'll show them that gift. I think I'll expose them to two or three more. Maybe they'll become more like conformed to the image of his son. And the one we're looking at here, I want you to look at your handout. Well, actually, we did pretty good that last one because it was introduction and prophet. I've got several ladies. I write people's names down. I know in the church, in my family. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 names here at the top 5. One's my daughter. The gift is serving. And ladies, especially if you have an ability for that, I have down here that there's some that... Ladies, I think it's in this one handout here that if you exercise your gift right, you can be a blessing as a man giving me $25,000 check.
Yeah. Yep.
Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'll look at the start. I'm going to race through this. Ministry is a spirit-given ability to demonstrate love by meeting practical needs. That's what that mercy. If somebody has the gift of mercy, maybe. And again, I'm not saying you kids can't figure your gift out, but. If you tell your kid to go out and dump the trash and he does it whistling, you say, well, he must be a servant. Maybe, but maybe he's just a good kid, too. Maybe he's just obedient. I think you got to grow. I don't mess with the test with the kids because I think you got to get out and you yourself got to be moving for God, doing what God wants you to do. And when somebody is a kid in the home and they're a good kid, they're going to be, and that's why our parents do rub off on us. My kids, a lot of times, would take that test and they kept coming up with my gift when they were younger. But as they get a little older and they start ministering in their churches, they start figuring out, hey, they were just they were borrowing. I remember one preacher saying, hey, if you don't have standards, until you get figured out what standards are, borrow somebody's.
Right.
Borrow somebody's good standards. That's really what you kids ought to do. Borrow your dad's gift. Figure out what your dad wants you to do, but you'll develop yourself.
Sure.
Then it says ministry is a Greek word, diakona. Man, we saw all over the Bible, deacon, minister, serve. Jesus didn't come to minister, but to be ministered to, but to minister. That means he didn't come to be deacon, he came to deacon. And that's what that word literally is. The message for ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Be kindly affectioned. You can figure these out from the verses. Affection, yes, that's what mercy does. Be kindly affectioned with brotherly love. In honor, preferring showing one another. That means showing deference. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. So what's that mean? It means sometimes you got to yield, servant. Sometimes you condescend to others. Condescend. You show deference. Preferring, to prefer one another, means to show deference, submission, respect. Now, I'm going to show you some real quick examples in a minute here in the Bible. Boy, some of them are great servants, and there's a couple of them, man, they cause so much trouble in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And if I had one gift that probably causes me more in trouble than anything else is somebody who's got the gift of service that's carnal. Yeah. I'm going to show you. I'll show you in the Bible. Jesus did too. What I tried to do in the number two is the motivation for service. I like seeing God did. God was a great servant. He gives us food with Israel. You can write this down: food, clothes, protection, freedom, and land. He gave them clothes that never wore out, shoes that never wore out. They went out every morning and got food. He gave them sunshine, a light to warm them at night. He gave them a cloud to shade them in the desert in the daytime and guided them. Man, you talk about a servant. Man, what a statement. Ask of me things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me? Whoa. Wow. Abraham, what do you want? How about 10, 50, 40, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. Ahaz, you wicked guy. What do you want as a sign? Oh, I don't want to ask a sign. How about try this on? A virgin shall conceive. That's Ahaz. Hezekiah, you want the sun to go forward? You want it to go backwards? I want the sign to go back. I want to stop the sun and throw it in reverse. Okay, you got it. God's a servant. God's got a serving heart, let her be. He reigns on the just and the unjust. God's not willing that any should perish. God so loved the world. God's a servant. He wants you to serve. And my point is, God does it. Jesus does it. And you can look that up. His first coming was prophesied as a servant. He came as a servant. Not the next time. First time he came, he rides a donkey. You ride a donkey when you're in dangerous territory on cliffs on the edges. The next time he comes back, he's riding a war horse. Yeah. And he's coming not as a servant, he's coming as a king. And in righteousness, he's a judge and make war.
Yes.
But he's got a servant's heart. What's the first thing he's doing? He says, first thing I do, I'm going to get you in heaven. I'm going to gird myself and serve you. He wants you to serve. That's what the next one, all are to practice this gift. Man, those disciples. Who's the greatest? How many times did Jesus say, the greatest is the servant of all? Well done, thou good and faithful what?
Servant.
I was just reading this to my wife and my son yesterday. He come by and he likes Bible just as much as I. And I said, son, just listen to this. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Yeah. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. What in the world is that? That's the God of infinity. Saying, you have no idea what I got planned for you. Amen. Try this on for size. Sure. You've been faithful in a little. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. But he wants you to serve. And some are natural at it. Look here to Moses. Now that wasn't his gift. He didn't say it was his gift. Well, that's not the main thing he was gifted at, but number one is Moses. And here's all of those phrases. You know what they keep repeating? Look at real quick. I'll show it to you. Look at Revelation 13. That's the one I want you to look at anyway, real fast. Look at Revelation 13. All of those verses basically say one thing about Moses. One thing about Moses. Look at it, Revelation. Take all those years, going from Exodus to Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and all the years, and even as he's wrapping the Bible up, he brings up Moses. And something God really liked about him. Look at Revelation 15, verse number 3. Revelation 15, 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the what?
Servant of God.
Man, that's what all those verses say over and over again. Moses, his servant. His servant, Moses. Moses, his servant. His servant. If you want to know what a servant does, and if that's your gift, you can study the life of Moses. Think about it. You don't have to read the verses. You can think, how did he serve God? Even when you're scared, God, I can't talk. God said, who made man's mouth? Get out there. I want you to be obedient. He went out and served God. God, I can't cross the Red Sea. Well, just hold it. Can you hold a stick? That's what God asked you. Can you? I can't talk. Well, can you? How about this? Can you hold a stick? Can you at least do that? His servant, he just decided, I guess I'm going to obey God. I can't talk right. I can't make God, how can I feed a million people out in the desert? I would say, well, God, what are you going to do? Wait, bring water out of a rock? Oh, you are? Oh. He said one time, he said, man, if you had all the fish in the sea, they couldn't feed them. What are you going to do? Rain food from heaven? Oh, you are? Okay. You study it. Joshua constantly was seen as Moses' minister. Moses' minister. Moses' minister. You know the best generals are the buck privates at one time. You know what they loved about David? He wasn't a general sitting back in the bunker where it's safe. He went out before the children of Israel and led them back in.
Yeah.
Bible says that. He was serving his people.
Yeah.
God wants you, before you can be a leader, you need to be a servant.
Amen.
Timothy, a great woman. I have Elisha. Man, you talk about two opposites. God put a light. I don't know why God did that. Isn't that hard to preach those two guys, fellas? It is for me. Just constantly, we're mixing them up. Elijah was a prophet. He didn't like people. Say, I think he did. Man, he'd live up in the mountains. That's why I like Elijah. He'd just come down, burn some people once in a while, and then go back. He did. Sitting up there in 2 Kings, we don't read that too often. And they come up and said, the king says, come down, thou man of God. He said, well, if I be a man of God, that fire can come down from heaven and consume thee in thy 50. They go back, tell them, those guys change to ashes. They send 50 more people. And they sold up and said, the king says, come down thou man of God. If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee in thy 50. 50 more guys come. This guy's a little smart. He says, oh, man of God, please don't burn me. The king would sure like your presence. And almost all of his miracles were this spectacular. It's not going to rain or have dew for 3 years, according to my word. He's a prophet. If you look at Elisha, the Bible says he poured water on the hands of Elijah. You know what that is? That's a servant. You know where he found Elisha? I love preaching. Elisha's life. I just call it 12. Point number one's 12. Point two is 12. Not on your handout, in my message. Point three is 12. Point four. What do you mean? It says he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen and he with the 12th. It means his dad was rich. He burnt those things. His dad owned them. He was a rich boy, but they put him in the back. That means he was willing to be a servant and pay it. He was dependable. He could make sure everybody else was doing their job, but you're also eating dirt back there. He with the 12th. But he didn't love that. He had a dream in his heart. And someday God had a preacher walk by and cast his mantle on him, didn't say any more. And he knew this is my call of God. And he set that plow on fire and burnt the oxen on the spot. Said, all I want to do is tell mom and dad bye. And he became a servant to the great Elijah that showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration and will show up in the tribulation someday. But it took a servant. It took a servant. He was a servant of Elijah, the great woman of Shunem. You can look at that. Paul said of Timothy, you know the proof as a son. He had been with me. He has served with me. Two opposites again. Paul and Timothy. Timothy was a servant. Where Paul had sent him here and sent him there. Like he said, I have no man like-minded. For all men naturally care for their own estate. Think of that. He's lumping them all of Paul's buddies. He said the only guy that really has got a servant's heart is Timothy. Because everybody else just naturally cares. And I think, is that including me? Could God say of me that I care more for him than my own needs? Timothy had a servant's heart. Epaphras and Epaphroditus, oh man. My dearly beloved fellow servants, you can read those verses. Real quick there though, the negative examples. Now here's why these are important. Here's what my goal is for you tonight, okay? You're not going to get all of this, I know it. It's the mind of Christ, come on. I mean, Jesus could have, how many times did they walk away and say he didn't quite get what he was saying, but he was still giving himself. You'll get what God wants you to. I like people saying, well, why do we go to church? I can't remember it all. How do you ladies wash a sieve? You lay it out in the sunshine? No, you run water through it, right? Well, why? It can't hold any. But it's the water running through that sieve that cleans it. The Bible says with the washing of the water of the word, he'll bring to your remembrance. You will be shocked. If you put the time in, and he knows that he can trust you with his gifts. You know Jesus said, cast not your pearls before swine, lest they turn again and rend you. He said that. He's not going to give you gold, silver, and precious stones in eternity if you're digging for wood, hay, and stubble down here. Wood, hay, and stubble. Out here, you can get all the hay you want out here. I saw stacks of it coming in. Straw. Wood, hay, and stubble. That's straw. I remember getting big round bales, the big giant ones. Straw for $8. They're worthless. I mean, they're good for maybe putting in a pig pen for bedding. Wood, hay, and stubble. If you're going to get gold, silver, and precious stones, you got to find them. You got to go digging in a mine. These are precious things of God. Gehazi, negative servant. He served who? Elisha. Elisha knew about being a servant. And you study that out, a servant. Remember Elijah got so discouraged, he said, I'm out of here. And he went down to Beersheba. And if you'll catch what he's doing is, in the Bible, it would say from Dan to Beersheba. That's a cue to you. That's like saying from Maine to San Diego. When God says from Dan they gathered, the children of Israel gathered from Dan to Beersheba. That was as far north as you could go and as far south as you could go. And you can see when men would get discouraged, they'd go to Beersheba and they'd park on the edge of that border debating, should I leave the promised land and go on into Egypt or not? And that's where a lot of Christians live, right there. And it doesn't take just but a little push from the devil and you're over in Egypt. And it says that Elijah went down to Beersheba. Listen, and he left his servant there. That guy was a fool. He should have stuck with Elijah like ugly on an ape. Elisha did.
Yeah.
He learned from that. If you're a servant needs a good leader. But there's times a servant won't submit to a leader, and you're going to cause a lot of problems, and Gehazi did. Gehazi became Elisha's servant, and he started out okay. You remember when Elijah, the prophet, said, I'm going, I'm leaving. And everybody said, your master, do you not know God's taken your master away? And Elisha kept saying, I know what I know, be still. And he'd go to Bethel and he'd say, now look, I'm telling you, stay here. And he said, as the Lord God liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Then he'd go to Gilgal and he said, I'm telling you, stay here. He was a loner. And Elisha would say, as the Lord God liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he just kept sticking with the man of God. And that's what you need to do if you're a servant. You need a man of God in your life, and you need to follow him.
Amen. Amen.
Some did and some didn't. And Gehazi didn't follow Elisha later on, and he went to hell, I believe. See, how do you know that? Because Elisha said, the leprosy on Naaman will cling to you and your descendants forever. That sure can't be heaven. Because my Bible says when the lost are cast into hell, he'll put on them all the plagues that are written in that book, and that includes leprosy. And Gehazi went after old Naaman and started lying. And Elisha says, where'd you go? He said, my soul went no whither. He said, did not my heart go with you when you turned again? You lied and you took that wealth. Is this the time that we ought to be gathering things, that you ought to be serving yourself? He was a terrible servant. Then I got Rebecca. You can look at this. I've thought about Rebecca a lot. Took a lot of faith. You know, Gehazi, or Eliezer, Abraham, you know, and he come back from killing getting the Sodomites all back and Lot back, and you know, he didn't want anything to do with that. And he had, of course, Isaac and Rebekah. He sent Eliezer. After he'd got turned all that wealth away, chapter 15, God speaks to Abraham. You ought to really check, follow the context of the Bible. The very next chapter, God can speak to Abraham and says, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. He just turned his back on the wealth of five empire kings that killed the Rephaim giants and the Azuzims. And even they were powerful kings. And he turned his back on that wealth. And God said, well, I'm your reward. And here's what he said. He said, well, I'm still childless, and all I have is this Eliezer of Damascus. I like how the Bible loves it. This guy over here. He said, I'm still childless, and all I got is this Eliezer, dude. And he's a Syrian. God gives him a son. He's got to get him a wife. And so Eliezer goes after her. And it says that when he spotted her, as soon as he prayed, he saw, here comes Rebecca. And she comes, listen to this. She comes running to him. That's interesting. Because he ran, when he saw her, he ran. I think these guys like to run. I don't like to run. I hate to run. Abraham sees Jesus there and he runs. Hey, go. Get the fatted calf. They were runners. Eliezer was a runner. And he saw Rebecca run up and said, do you want a drink of water? That's a good servant. Yeah, I'm real thirsty. I've just traveled 1,000 miles with these 10 camels. She watered him, and then listen, she says, do you want me to water the camels also? 10 camels?
Wow.
They just traveled 1,000 miles. I looked it up. One camel can drink 50 gallon of water.
That's right.
Times 10, 500 gallon. The way I figure stuff, a 50 gallon trash barrel, you burn the trash in about that size. See, that's how much water, five times. She said, who are you? And he said, well, this time your relative. So she went running to Laban. He saw the gold on her wrist, and he went running to see Eliezer. Everybody liked to run back then. good servant. But the next I have is a bad servant. Listen, God told her, didn't he? She said, what is this within my womb? And God said, there's two nations within your womb, and the elder will serve the younger, right? God told her that. So why'd she take matters into her own hands? Because she was a servant out of walk with God. See, how do you know that? Because she was lying to her son and husband, and she broke that family up, and they never got back together again. And Jacob said, Mom, I don't want to lie to Dad. He'll curse me. She said, your curse be on me. You do what I say. She's been a bad servant. She's been a bad wife. She's a bad mother. She's been a bad child of God. She says, lie. We got to do this. This is important. And that's how a servant will get. We need to do this in church. I think I'm going to jump ahead to this. This is why you see this in churches. This is what you see. You'll see people in a church. We all agree we need things in a church. Well, this is what we need to do in a church. And the preachers can identify with this. A prophet will say, people are just too sensitive today. They just need more pointed messages, bring conviction, and change their life. That's what we need, just good hard preaching. Preacher, I love the hard preaching. A teacher will say, you know, pastor, here's what we need to do. And I love how these people always volunteer somebody else. Here's what you need to do, pastor. I get so tired of that. Don't you pray to get tired of that?
Yes.
And you got to just be patient. I know, but I'm just being honest here. Somebody will come up and say, oh, pastor, what we really need to do, and I'm thinking, and I even told one, I said, well, you're the sixth person that's tried to do that, so if you want to try it, let's just see if how long you'll do it. Everybody got good ideas. We need more in-depth Bible studies. Get folks' attention. Maybe have 5 or 6 Sunday school classes where people can pick the subject to study. I don't like that one. You know, hey, what we need is, we need to build a church, we need more Bible challenges. Maybe you have all these different Sunday school chat classes. An administrator says, Pastor, we need to get to organize the church ministries better. We need to assign everybody a task. Maybe have monthly training and accountability assessments. I've had 2 administrators in my church. One's dead now, and he's a great man. When we started our little country, we started out in the country, because Durango's expensive. And so we started out in the country. They used to have chickens and bees in the old country church, and you couldn't even hardly get in. Had a path to the church. It was great. We were there 15 years. Had a great time. I always tell you, baptize the stream with trout in the stream. Boys are watching the fish. But this administrator I had in my church, I'm not that. I shouldn't keep telling you that. You're going to figure out what idea it is. But he was an administrator. We were with a group, and the farmers, rich millionaires, that had control of the facility and the cemetery. And the guy that I had, who was there when he started the church, was so good. He turned it around. They thought they were going to get money from us for using their building. He turned it around. They had to ask permission from us to use their building. I thought this was crazy wild. They owned the building, but they had to come to us. They had a good deal. Oh, they're going to get these crazy Baptists to give us all kinds of money that they must have. We didn't have any. He flipped it around in that meeting. I just sit there and let him talk because he was an administrator. He could do it. He's with the Lord now. God's given me another administrator. And I put him in charge of things like that. He'll do it. He's really good at it. He's got an ability to do it. A giver, we need to emphasize the church finances, preacher. We need to be telling people we need to talk about more about money. We could do so much more if we need to tell everybody what the responsibilities are to help. We could do more with more finances. Maybe have a financial seminar. Everybody's got a good idea. And everybody, that's what a giver will think. I've had a couple givers in my church. They're great to have.
Yes.
Mercy, they say, what we need is ministries that help the poor. Man, there's homeless people out there. There's people that are addicted. We need to be helping people. Maybe buy groceries. Somebody needs to start an RU program. That's mercy.
Yeah.
See, mercy will say that, and the prophet will say, yeah, but you know what? We need to help this. Mercy will come to the preacher and say, there's really a family down there. We tried to help them, and they're really, really needing help. We need to take up a collection for them. And the pastor said, we've already done that 3 times. And the administrator says, yeah, we were wasting money on that. We sent vans out there. They won't even let their kids come. And the giver said, yeah, we've been spending money on them. It's a waste of God's money. And the mercy will say, yeah, but they still need help. I'm telling you, you can start, after a while, you can start figuring things out. And you need to, and you say, well, what good does that do? If you let the Holy Spirit fill you, you might start thinking that these other gifts are important. Yeah. I've said this probably when I'm here. There's a book, I don't know what it is. I've never read it. I don't want you to read it. I'm sure it's not a good biblical book, but it's Manner. You heard this title? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. I know the title. And I think it's funny because it's like we're from different planets. So why does God do that? So we'll fight? Is that why he did it? Honey, we have no money in the check. Yeah, there's plenty of checks in the checkbook. You know why? Because he wants you guys to start thinking like Jesus thinks about you and has mercy on you. And he wants you ladies to sometimes to start to thinking. All three of my son-in-laws have said, Dad, thank you for teaching your daughters how to think. You see the news? What's all this going on? I'm not trying to be mean, and I'm not a chauvinist, but it's usually stupid young white girls that are doing all this dumb stuff. You notice it with the pink hair and the blue hair?
Yeah.
And they're screaming about abortion and killing babies? Somebody didn't teach those girls how to think.
Right.
And ladies, you do need that. Exhorter, we need to challenge others to grow. And to reach out. People need to know they're welcome here. The exhorter, here's where they kind of get along, but the exhorter said, man, you're chasing people off, preacher. We get people in, and your hard preaching chases them off. People need to know that God loves them. That's why you have that's why we have conflicts. That's why the Bible constantly say, look, as you got a gift, don't think your gift's the only gift. Don't think you're all that. What you ought to do is figure out what yours is, do good at it, but then maybe you ought to apply some of these other gifts and maybe put some of them to use, and that's why I have other examples. Now, the one I want you to look at very quickly is Luke. Turn to the next page, Martha. Boy, this is as plain as the nose on my face. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Talk about a good example of what a servant could and should be and what a servant shouldn't be. Three times you read about Martha. And I have her down as a bad example of a servant. Now, she was a servant. Every time you read about Martha, there's several things you see. Number one, she's always serving. Number two, she's always chewing Jesus out. Every time she talks.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus loved her, right? They were the closest thing to a family Jesus had. They lived over in Bethany. Bethany, if you were a Galilean, you didn't cut down through Samaria, so they would cut from up by Galilee. If you think of the map, they'd cut across by the Sea of Galilee, go down the Jordan River on the far side, go down to Jericho, walk up the ascent of Adam of Duma, and go up to the Mount of Olives, and right before the Mount of Olives is Bethany. And it's where the poor people lived, the Galileans. They were from Galilee. That's why they said, are not all these feet Galileans? They're country bumpkins. These are hillbilly hicks. And Jesus spent a lot of time with those hillbilly hicks over in Bethany, didn't he? He liked to stay in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And the Bible says he loved them. Martha, she had some issues. Look at Luke chapter 10. Now it came to pass, as he entered a certain village, that's Bethany, a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. It's her house. Well, she's nothing have to be wrong with that, but it's her house. It's not Lazarus. It's not Mary's. It's probably the big sister, kind of like Miriam. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered. Means just kind of weighed, I like cumbered about, much what? And came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not, oh man, this is, you could say so much on this. Lord, you're doing wrong, Jesus. God, you're making a mistake. Jesus, really, you know, she's really chewing Jesus out here because Jesus is the one teaching and he's the one keeping Mary occupied. She said, Jesus, I am tired of getting the only one serving here. Would you tell Mary to get up and come in here and help me? And he basically said, no.
Amen.
Not gonna do that. She's cumbered about. And I'm just being honest. A lot of times you say, well, is he talking about me? If the shoe fits, I hope it pinches. If you are a servant on any of these gifts and you aren't walking with God, you're trouble. And your problem in the church, and everybody else probably knows it except you. She's as blind as a bat. She can't see what's important. Jesus is headed to Calvary. Mary catches it. This is the Mary that anointed his feet. He said, she has kept this up for my burial. She's the only one that got it. Three times Jesus said to disciples, now, I'm going into Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed in the hands of sinners. Scribes and Pharisees are going to kill me. I'm going to die. And the third day I'm going to rise again. And the disciples said, who done what? Who done who now? What did he say? I don't, that's not important. I think I'm going to be the greatest. No, I think I'm going to be the greatest. That's exactly what happened. Not Mary. Martha missed it. Now, I'm going to see this. You watch this. In verse number 39, she said, a sister called Mary, which sat at his feet and heard his word. That's why you have church. That's what you're doing right now. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And if you're not using your gift right, you're sweating bullets all the time. You're causing problems. You're all bent out of shape. And you try to get everybody else bent out of shape. And that's exactly what Martha did. And said, Lord, dost thou not care? Of course he cared. Now you're not even, you're rebuking Jesus and accusing him of not even caring. He's going to Calvary for you, lady. He's going to die on the cross. And you're saying, don't you care about me and my needs? That my sister had left me to serve alone. Bitter therefore that she helped me. And Jesus said unto her, I like this, Martha, Martha. That's the moms and dads going, Jimmy, 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 Jimmy. Martha. I honestly think Jesus times, there's times he couldn't believe it, some of it, what the humanity part of him. So he sighed, one time he said he sighed deeply. Oh, man. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. He said, Martha, Martha, you really are a nervous wreck, aren't you? But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away. Amen. Now look at your handout. Martha, she's a good housekeeper. She's concerned for the needs of others. Her survey focused on the meeting the physical needs such as food more than receiving spiritual nourishment by learning from the Lord. Now listen, you think about it. They're hungry. It was good. She's thinking, well, what are we going to do? Is he going to feed us with five loaves and two fish? Maybe. Are you going to maybe this isn't what God wants you to do in the church, but you're going to do it anyway. And that's what Martha does. She failed to consider the long-term, rare, momentary opportunity to hear from the Lord while evidencing ignorance of the plan Christ's imminent death. He's talking about dying. She was perturbed and worried that she would not be able to finish her planned task in the time available. If you're a servant, all of these things you'll see on these handouts. A servant, a lot of times, is very quick. They don't like to take the leadership, but if there's a need, they'll try to plug it. But a lot of times they get frustrated when you give them a time limit. And that's her right here. They get frustrated and then they take it out on other people. Verse number, or letter E. Her anger against her sister's perceived inactivity was in actuality an attack on the decision of the Lord, as it was he that commanded Mary's delay and attention. Her selfishness caused her to become careful and troubled about many things. Her gift used in the flesh merited a rebuke from the Lord in an attempt to cause her to realize her egotism and hopefully bring about a repentant and humble spirit. Sadly, now this is interesting. Sadly, it appears Martha spurned Jesus' rebuke as later, Martha's actions seemed unchanged with a brief comment of insight from the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to look over at John chapter 11, if you would. Now this is where I'm just saying, these gifts, I'm just telling you, you need to figure out what yours is, because I'll say I can figure out some of our people's gifts not by what they're doing right, but what they're doing wrong. And I think, man, if that person would just get right with God and decide they're going to get involved in the church, man, what could they do? Yep. Look at John 11, verse 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Lazarus is dead. Look at this. Now just pay attention to all these words. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Pay attention to those words. God doesn't need filler like the Book of Mormon. He's telling you something. Martha's going out there to chew Jesus out. Mary's sitting calm as a cucumber. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord. Now notice that. Lord, thy speech bewrayeth thee. She calls him Lord here. If thou had been here, my brother had not died. Jesus, you blew it. I believed in you, and I know you could have done it, but you didn't do it, so he's dead. It's your fault. Jesus, what would Jesus do? Jesus, that's not very Christ-like of you. What, Jesus, come on, what would Jesus do, Jesus? Well, he was doing what Jesus does. She just didn't understand what Jesus was doing. If you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. So she kind of said, but I still know you could do something if you want to. Now, follow along. Jesus saying to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know. Because you say, I don't think she said it like that. I do think she said it like that because of what she says. I know he shall rise again at the resurrection of the last day. She said, that's not what I'm wanting. I'm not talking about that. I know he'll rise someday. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. He'd have or he could rise right now. He said, he's going to rise someday. I know someday, but that's not what I'm interested in. Jesus saying to her, I got a list of, I've got in my Bible. I'm keeping a list of all the times Jesus let people walk away misunderstanding him. Many times. Wow. I mean, when they said, this is a prophet from Nazareth. There's no prophet coming out of Galilee. Why didn't Jesus say, hey, you guys didn't find out? Why? I wasn't born in Nazareth. I was born in Bethlehem. He never told that to anybody. He let them put on the cross, this is Jesus of Nazareth. Why didn't he straighten that out? And they said, check in the Bible. There's no prophet come out of Galilee. Oh, there was one. Gath Hepher. It's a town. His name was Jonah.
Yeah.
No prophet. Why didn't he straighten that out? He just, if you don't want this tonight, God's okay with it. He said, okay, if you're not interested, don't go any farther with it. It's up to you. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said, yea, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. That's not what he asked her. He said he will rise in. Now, again, what's he talking about? Do you know that if you're saved, you'll never die? I'll never die. I'll die of shadow death, physical death, but that's just the shadow. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. I will not die the second death. That's the real one. Everything in this world is a shadow. Even death is just the picture of eternal death, and that I will never experience. That's what he's saying. But he didn't go into detail like I just did and explain that. And she said, yes, I believe. Yeah, you're the Son of God. Yeah. And that's where she left it. Keep reading. And when she had so said, she went her way. And that's a lot of people. You're confronted, even tonight, saying, look, you need to figure out what your gift is, and you need to get involved in your church, and you need to get busy serving God in your ministry. And you're going to maybe, some of you, I'm sure a lot of people will say, well, that's kind of good. Kind of boring. And you'll just go your way. God will still love you. He still loved the children of Israel in the wilderness. He dropped bread on them every day and kept their clothes. He killed them with kindness. He said, your carcasses are going to rot in the wilderness. I'll feed you. If you want to die in the wilderness, I'll feed you and I'll clothe you. But you're just going to waste your life. I'll let your carcasses are going to rot. You want to waste your life tonight as a Christian? Help yourself, God says. I'll love you, Martha. She went her way. Listen. And called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master. Oh, not the Lord anymore. Kind of Judas-y. The Master has come and calleth for thee, liar. Jesus didn't call her. You know what's going on? The preachers call her, bluff. She don't like it. She's been embarrassed. So now she's got to get somebody else in her sin. You preachers ever see people do that?
Yes, sir.
They get mad at the church. They leave the church. And they talk to people that they would never bark a word at for 20 years in the church. But all of a sudden, when they're kicked out of the church, they're best buddies with everybody in the church.
Come on.
anybody.
Yeah.
You and the devil. But he can read you like a book. She is away from Christ. She's not doing what she should. So she's got to try to get... Mary, the master's calling you too. He wants to meet you out there. I went out there. You need to go out there too. You know what the preacher said? Here's what he said. I'm heading down to this church over here. You need to come. Oh, it's a wonderful church. Oh, I love this new church we're at. Man, we can drink, we can dance, and the preacher don't get on us. And that other preacher, the brother Rice, he's mean anyway. I'm just telling you, here she is. Keep reading. They ain't done yet. The master can come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Jesus, now look at this. Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. He said, I ain't going any farther. If you're going to have that attitude, I'm not even going into that house. You get that straightened out. He said, I'm just parking it right here. My son showed me a verse the other day out of Proverbs. He that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. When you get out of sorts with Christ, I don't care what your gift is, and you get out of sort with the preacher and your church, you may go to the greatest church outside of Jerusalem, but I'll tell you what, if you're not right with the last preacher, you're not going to grow another inch in your spirituality.
Yeah. Woo.
You know what a dog is? A dog is a retarded wolf. I'm not trying to be mean. It is. It is. Taking animals, domestic animals, a lot of them, they take, I don't care if it's a cow or ox, they'll take the gentlest one. I've had wolf pups, we had coyotes, skunks, coons, and everything you can get if you get them young enough. And they take a wolf pup, and they're always gentle. But some of them be gentle a little bit longer. So they keep that one and keep breeding it till pretty soon the viciousness is gone. And you got yourself a dog. But that dog can't survive on its own like a wolf.
Right.
That's where a lot of Christians are living. You've killed yourself spiritually. Oh, you think you're really growing. But isn't it funny how the things you use... How come I see parents who stand true when it comes to their kids are little and all their kids follow in their line and they got standards and they don't let their kids go. They become teenagers and all of a sudden it's the preacher's fault.
Yeah.
You've had that kid for 18 years and I get him for 1 hour a week and somehow it's the preacher's fault or the youth pastor's fault. You had it for 18 years.
Come on. Right.
And now you are drinking and dancing and smoking. And it's okay. Something's happened up here to your brain. You're in the congregation of the dead.
Yeah.
You wander out of the place of understanding where you're supposed to be, where God has you. You're going to remain in the congregation. Oh, it'll be a great church. Oh, maybe thousands like Joel Osteen. I can't stand that.
Yeah.
Still not done. Keep reading. The Jews therefore then, when they were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily, followed her. Then when Mary was come to where Jesus was, she fell down at his feet and said, Lord, if thou hast been there, she's talking like Martha now. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, here it is. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Oh, man. That's what it means to be agitated. Not because Lazarus was dead. He's going to raise him from the dead. He's frustrated at all their confusion. Now not only is Martha griping at him, Mary's griping at him, and they start griping at him. Look at it. It says in verse number 35, and they said, where have you laid him that we may see, the Lord may see him? And Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Now they're griping at Jesus. Martha's right. He blew it. This guy causes the blind to see, and he let this guy die. What is Jesus up to? Why is he doing this? I'm just telling you. When you get out of sorts with your gift, and if we had time, we could do this with all of them. Jesus, look at verse 38 again. Jesus, therefore, again groaning. I think he's perturbed myself. He's troubled. Verse 33 means stirred. He's agitated. Turn over to chapter 12. Here's the sad part. about done with this one here. John 12, verse number 1. And now Jesus, 6 days before the Passover. What comes at Passover? Calvary. They're right on the cusp. Look at Cain to Bethany, where Lazarus was which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Look at, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. Nothing wrong with serving. I don't think she learned her lesson. I'm telling you, if your gift is a prophet, your gift is a giver, your gift is mercy, you can do so much. If you just say, preacher, where could I plug in?
Amen.
Is there a van I could drive? Is there a way I could? Amen. I saw one of the ladies cleaning the church here tonight, cleaning the toilets.
Amen.
There's always things to do around the church.
Yes.
I don't know. People don't understand this. My son's my associate, and he even had one of the men in the church say, well, what do you do for the pastor? What doesn't he do? He'll do anything I ask him to do. There's more to having a church than you think. Look at the last page, and I'll race through this. Now, when I give you these, I'm going to give you the good and the bad. The Bible says if you're after the flesh, you mind the things of flesh. If you're after the Spirit, you mind the things of Spirit. So on the right, left side, I've got the different ones. If you're after the Spirit in this as a servant, you'll be like this. If you're after the flesh, you'll be like this. Now, when I read them, I want you to think about, we talked about Gehazi, Martha. I mentioned Elisha. I mentioned Rebecca. If you're after the Spirit, you're concerned. That's the first one. I wrote down Martha and Rebecca. They were very concerned. Servants, great for the church. But if you're calloused, I wrote down Martha and Rebecca. Because both of them got in the flesh. They were calloused. The next one is diplomatic. I wrote down Elisha. He liked people. They'd come and say, hey, Elisha, the Bible college is running out of room. What do we do? And he said, well, let's everybody get some axes and we'll go up in the mountain. He liked to be around people. Hey, Elisha, the people were eating together in church fellowship and they got sick. What do we do? And he threw more meal in the pot and they were healed. His miracles were usually with people. Diplomatic, domineering. I wrote down Martha and Rebecca. The next one's obedient. I wrote down Elisha, Timothy, Moses. Obstinate, got Gehazi. The next one's self-effacing. Very humble, I wrote down Moses. Self-centered, I wrote down Martha and Gehazi. Courteous is the next one, Rebecca. She's very kind. Coarse, Martha. Cheerful, I wrote down Epaphroditus. You can check these other ones. Hostile is the other one. I'll just race through these. Helpful. Timothy was helpful. Martha was helpful. Resentful. Martha. Thoughtful. Rebecca. Judgmental. Martha. Adaptable. Sometimes servants have a hard time adapting when the preacher says, I don't want you doing that. So what'd you do with two ladies that are strong servants? I preached on stuff like this. I tried to head the devil off at the pass. Say, look, you're not all that. Your gift serving, give way to other people serving. Preferring one another, condescend to men of low estate. The next one, attentive, is Martha was very attentive to needs. Impulsive was Martha. Persistent, again, Martha, you put him down. Persistent and resistant is the other one, resistant. Focused was Martha and inconsistent. Those are the things, you'll be one or the other of those. Then the very last, the weakness of each one I tried to put down. A weakness of a servant is they become bitter over a lack of appreciation for their labors. You can become bitter. Why doesn't anybody else help me? How come I'm the only one that is concerned about what the parking lot looks like? Why doesn't somebody change out the bulletin board? Am I the only one that can see that? So Martha did. Major potential abuses, overemphasis, look at this, of practical needs may produce an oversight of spiritual needs. Martha, what we need is people need to be helping folks, yeah, but they also need to make sure they're saved. If we're going to be helping somebody financially, we need to make sure they're not using on drugs and alcohol. There's a balance in there in all of these. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, I do pray you'd help us, Lord, as we think about all these gifts. Lord, that you'd help us to apply these in our life, and we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, Brother Joel. Amen. Wow.
right, we'll get started at right on, let's take 5 minutes. Go. Go, go, go. Need more coffee? Head next door. Rest for the pass. We're going to shoot for 825. That's what we're shooting for. Shoot for that. I need more fellas that are going to